I'm currently starting each message with a thought that focuses on the bright or the sunny side of life. And this evening's inspirational thought is this: today is a gift from God. That's why it's called the present. Live each day to the fullest as it is a precious gift. And because you're such a wonderful parish community, I'm going to give you a bonus this weekend. And it's a really good thing. Pope Francis just released a book that is called How to Be Happy. I'm in the reading it, and it's awesome. So I would encourage you to also pick up a copy or get your Kindle out and read it. It's an excellent book on how to be happy. As always, it is so good to be with you, and a very special Mother's Day to all of our moms. Moms, remember that we wouldn't be here without you tonight. So we're so glad to have all of our mothers here this evening. This evening, we begin a new series, a three-week series that is called Inspirations. Now, if you're interested in living an inspired life, you just hit the jackpot. Because over the next 3 weeks, we're going to take the scripture readings and we're going to explore the six pillars, or as I like to call them, the six P's for living an inspired life. And I promise and I guarantee you this, that the more that you stand on these pillars in your life, the more inspired your life will be. So this day, on the solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord, we want to explore the first two of the six great pillars, and they are these: promise and purpose. Promise and purpose. First of all, the pillar of promise. If you noticed in the first reading this evening, when Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he talked about the promise of the Father, right? He talked about the promise of the Father. And see, what happened is God promises that in just a little while, in just a little bit, the Holy Spirit is going to come down from heaven and is going to live within them. We're going to celebrate that next weekend, right? That's the Feast of Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit comes down and lives within us. Now, God's promises, that's really important that God would promise us the Holy Spirit. Because could you imagine a life without the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? Well, I thought about that for a moment and I thought, well, that would be unbearable. That would be intolerable to know that that the Holy Spirit didn't live within me. So God's promise is very important that he be able to deliver on it. But here's another interesting fact. Did you know that God makes over 3,000 promises to us in living our life with him? 3,000 promises. Now, a couple of thoughts that need to be brought out in this evening's readings when we think about standing upon the pillar of promise. The first thing you have to do is consider who's making the promise. In other words, who's the source of the promise? And fortunately for us, that source is God. God, you know, people can make promises till they're blue in the face, but they're mere words if the goods cannot be delivered, if you can't stand behind them and do what it is you said you're going to do. Now, I would think that everyone in here, we've all experienced broken promises at times in our lives. People have disappointed us. They promised us things, and they've not delivered on their promise. Well, the problem when people do that is that it causes us to decrease our trust. Our level of trust goes down. And what happens is, a lot of times, a wall between us begins to go up. But let me say this. We've all experienced broken promises, but I'm here to give you good news tonight. And here's the good news. God doesn't work that way. God delivers on his promises. God doesn't deliver 95, 98, 99%. No, God delivers 100% on his promises. And that's important. And that's why we heard, as the cantor was singing the psalm tonight, it's sort of like the psalmist, as he begins to think about God and the faithfulness of God, it's sort of this burst of praise erupts out of his soul in song. Listen to it. All you peoples, he writes, clap your hands, shout to God with gladness, sing hymns of praise, because the Most High, awesome, and the great King over everything never breaks a promise. That's pretty substantial, isn't it? And I like what Paul wrote in the second reading. He said this. He said that God is above every principality, every power, every authority, not only in this life, but also in the life that is yet to come. See, God fills all things in every way. In other words, God delivers. And let me give you just another one for good measure, a scripture that Peter wrote about God keeping his promises. He says this, because of his glory and his excellence, God has given us great and precious promises. My dear friend, if you've not heard it already, here's the reality of our situation. God delivers 100%. 100%. So the big question is to the people of God is, do you believe this? That's the big question. See, your response to this question will make all the difference in whether you live a life of mediocrity or you live a life of inspiration. Now, while we all want to believe that God delivers on his promises, when things don't go our way, or we experience suffering, or God's promises, they just sound too good to be true, we tend to doubt God and what it is he's able to do. Amazingly, if you read the readings that we've read over the last couple of weeks, right up to the last minute, some of the disciples doubted Jesus and what he said he was and what he said he can do. So if you're in that boat tonight, let me say something to you. Wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. And listen to what Paul has to say. Paul's understanding of the situation. See, he delivers a different message. We don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Paul doesn't say that. But here is the solution to understanding God delivering 100% of 100 all the time his promise. And it is this. Grow in your relationship and your understanding of God. That's how you do it. See, if you go back to the second reading, Paul specifically prays in the reading tonight. He says this. He asks God to give each one of us a couple of things. He asked him to give us a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of enlightenment so that we can what? We may experience the glory and the surpassing greatness of God's power. It's all about deepening your relationship with God. There's so much going on in our world today, and I'll be the first to tell you that it is becoming increasingly necessary that we grow up in our faith more quickly. That's the reality of the situation today, because we have some complicated situations, some unjust situations out there, and it calls for us to grow up in our faith more quickly. And Paul was constantly encouraging the church. If you look at the letters that he wrote to the different churches, he was always emphasizing to them the necessity of adopting this attitude of moving beyond the basic promises of God to the more weightier ones. Now, why did he do that? Because he was writing to a church that was persecuted. He was writing to a church that was suffering. And so when we're in the midst of those kinds of things, we have to sort of move beyond the basics of life and go into the weightier ways of understanding God. And I love his example. He uses it a couple times in his letters. But he said to grow in your maturity, in your relationship with God, he says it's like this. It's like one is drinking milk as an infant. You know, the only thing a baby can have is milk, right? That's the only thing a baby can have. But he says as you grow and mature in God, you can eat meat. And he says leave the elementary, the basic promises. Go move on into your life and eat the meat. So let me ask you tonight, which one do you prefer to eat, milk or meat? Which one would you rather have, a glass of milk or a thick steak to feast upon? Well, for me, that's a no contest kind of thing. But remember, God wants us to grow and mature in Him. And it's through that we understand these issues in life. Let me give you an example. It takes time. It truly takes time to grasp that human suffering is an inevitable part of life. It's just a reality. And that God uses it to the best of His ability to bring out the most good. See, you cannot, there's this thing about instant Christianity. It doesn't work in the more complicated situations of life. You can't take an issue like this and microwave it with 30 seconds of instant Christianity. It's not going to work. But you have to grow. You have to understand. And that's the deepness of God. And the beauty in our relationship with Him is as we do that, we realize this. God truly delivers 100% of the time. And what a wonderful effort, what a wonderful joy it is to be able to grow in this and to understand it. Promise. The second pillar for living an inspiring life is purpose. Purpose. Just to say the word sort of gives me goosebumps when I think about it. To have purpose and meaning in life. And there's a great philosopher. His name was Viktor Frankl. You may know him. And one of his famous books is called Man's Search for Meaning. Listen to what he says. He says that life is filled with inspiration. This is some good stuff. When we do three things, three simple things, one sentence. We have something to do, we have someone to love, and we have something to hope for. Those three things bring meaning and purpose into your life. And as I reflected on that, I thought, well, you know, that sounds like the pillar of purpose, doesn't it? That sounds like the pillar of purpose. And in today's reading, Jesus gives all of us here a clear purpose in life. By calling us, he says, to be his witnesses. What does he say? He says, you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. Go now, he says, and proclaim the good news to everyone, beginning in Jerusalem, then going to Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. See, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And a contemporary way of interpreting what Jesus said is this. He says, you will be my witnesses, first of all, in your family, then in your community, then in your city, then in your state, and yes, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. I can say this without any hesitation tonight. If there's one thing that the Bible affirms over and over again, it is that God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Now, I know, and I've heard many people say this to me over the years, it's easy to fall in a couple of ruts when we think about purpose in life. One common one is they say, well, Father, I'm not gifted. I have nothing to offer. I have no gifts in order to be a witness. Or another one that I hear quite often is, well, Father, I have made too many mistakes. There's no way that God would use me. Well, I hate to say this word and mention the word stake in the same homily, but I'm going to do it anyway. The response to that is baloney, okay? Baloney. See, what did the angels say to the disciples in the first reading? As they were watching Jesus ascend and they were looking up into heaven, the angels come up behind them and say, why are you looking into the sky? This same Jesus who ascended is going to come back one day in the same way. Don't worry about it. But what do the angels encourage them to do? They say, be on your way, go and share the good news. There's your purpose. Go on about it. I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this evening. First of all, this evening's message hashtag is I Choose Inspirational Living. That's a neat thing, isn't it? So let me ask you a question. Do you live an inspired life? Do you? And if not, why not? Reflect on this reality that is 100%. It is God's most earnest desire, His most eager desire, that you live an inspired life. You're one of His children, right? And He wants only the best for you. Remember that with God, you are filled with infinite possibilities. And the second thing is this. Take some type of concrete action this coming week by reinforcing or beefing up either the pillar of promise or the pillar of purpose in your life. And sort of as a bonus, I also mentioned the fourth pillar that we're going to talk about next week. It was in the scripture. Try to pick it out. Somebody came out after Mass and said, Father, is it this word? I said, yep, that's the word. So what is that fourth P that we're going to talk about next week? But I want to share something with the ladies. Here's something that you might be interested in. This fall, we are expanding our women's ministry in the church, and we're going to be offering a program, wouldn't you know it, that it is called Walking with Purpose. Walking with Purpose. Doesn't that sound good? The title sounds great, but the program is even greater, and the community and the strength that it builds. So be on the outlook for more information. God bless all of you.